This is Pastor Emery. There is a whole body of preaching today about a future seven-year tribulation which is supposed to surpass anything the world has yet seen. People living in America may believe such nonsense, but I wonder how far a rapture evangelist would get in Cambodia today, in Vietnam, in Cuba. Would he preach his rapture doctrine to those who are starving, who have lost most of their relatives murdered by communists, or who themselves are in the slave camps of the Soviet Union or China? Would they ask, Mr. Preacher, when will your rapture come? When the Reds reach Paris, or London, or Mexico? How about when they reach Raleigh, North Carolina, or Columbus, Ohio? The Red World Power has already brought tribulation and death to tens of millions of Christians in the last two generations. The Great Tribulation is not future, it is already here. What is Mystery Babylon? For many past centuries, students of the Holy Writ have pondered over and speculated on the strange and fascinating vision of the Apostle John recorded in Revelation 17 and 18. The angel showed John a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones, riding upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Her name was Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And the angel told John in verse 18, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." John saw and recorded in chapter 18 a continuing fearful vision of her destruction and the release of the people of the earth from her degradation and power. In verse 6 of Revelation 17, John writes, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." In verse 14, we read that the ten kings and the beast shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That war has been going on for 20 centuries. It is not something future which will last for only 7 years. But instead, John sees the vision of the end of that tribulation period. Turn to Revelation chapter 18. I will follow through here in the rest of this chapter as we conclude this series and show you how it compares with Jeremiah and the other prophets. The last time when we ended reading in Revelation 18, we had read through verse 8. Verse 4 is the call for God's people to come out of Babylon. Verse 5 through 7 makes it plain that God's people are also to be the destroyers of Mystery Babylon the Great. And in verse 6, they are instructed to reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. Rather than the Christians being taken off to the heavens while Mystery Babylon rules, they are to be here and are to be the adversaries of this world dictatorship. Verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Her destruction will bring sorrow and fear upon those who have been made rich by the plunder and wicked rule of Babylon. Verse 9 and 10. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." The present evil economic systems of the world, which have made serfs and servants of the world's people, including the citizens of America, will end in a short period of time. It says, "For in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Prophetic time of one day to a year would make that about 15 years, a very short time for the transition from the rule of Mystery Babylon to the rule of Jesus Christ upon the earth. And notice here that only the extremely wealthy merchants and kings are sorry to see her end. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." And here is the merchandise of the world system of trade and plunder called Mystery Babylon. the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. And this goes in descending order of value down to wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Under this terrible Babylonian system, gold is the most precious commodity, with lives of men the cheapest. The wars of the world are proof of this. The recent Vietnam War enriched the merchants and the bankers of the earth by at least $250 billion in direct profits and mortgages against the future earnings of the United States workers. This was accomplished by forcing our young men to fight and die, but not allowing them to win. You have heard from competent military authorities that the communists could have been beaten any time during that 10 years by our forces, but the kings and the rulers of America prevented it and required both the South Vietnamese and Americans to die by the hundreds of thousands, so the profits, the taxes, and the plunder could go on. Last week I mentioned the war of genocide against the Igbo tribesmen of Nigeria. It happened that they occupied territories containing the richest oil fields in Central Africa. The kings of the earth provided arms for a ragtag band of 80,000 Nigerian mercenaries, sent them in to attack and kill the defenseless Igbos, and drive them from their land. This unequal contest lasted 18 months, while 1 million Igbos died. Before the killing was over, the multinational oil companies were drilling for oil, while the jungle still reeked with the odor of rotting flesh. The oil merchants were in so quickly that one Shell oil drilling rig was actually captured by the Igbos when they made a counterattack against the Nigerian mercenaries. In 1961, United Nations troops invaded Katanga province in the Congo in Africa, driving the Dutch and others from the huge Katanga copper mines. Katanga copper was then taken over by a European conglomerate headed up by the brother of the man who headed the United Nations. The news media of the world and the politicians would have us believe that the United Nations and the communists are idealists attempting to better the lot of the workers of the earth. The truth is that the United Nations and the communists are the assault forces for the international billionaires who plan to rule the entire earth and make its people their subjects and their slaves. In the Bible, it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. But thank God, their system of rule and plunder is about to end. And when it does, God says in Isaiah 13, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." God's order is the opposite of Babylon's. Man is the most precious, gold worthless. Speaking of that same day in Isaiah 2:20, he says, "Man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold to the moles and to the bats." James writes in the New Testament, in chapter 5, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is tinkered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days." Verse 8 of Revelation 18 says, "Mystery Babylon will be utterly burned with fire." James says, "The gold of the world's wealthy will eat their flesh as it were fire." No wonder Isaiah says they'll attempt to throw it away, attempt to get rid of it, for it shall witness against them. I have said, as we read in Revelation, and in Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and Obadiah, and others, that Mystery Babylon was the wicked system of plunder of the workers and the poor by the wealthy ruling class. This is borne out in the writings of James, here in this 5th chapter. After he tells the rich men that their gold will testify or witness against them, he tells them their sin. Verse 4, James 5. "Behold, the hire of the laborers, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." In America today, this plunder under the guise of taxation, is known as withholding taxes. God says it is the hire of the laborers, kept back by fraud or stolen from the workers. American workers pay in taxes to their powerful government controllers, or in usury to their friendly bankers, over 50 cents of every dollar of wages they earn. Much of it is kept back by withholding, and they never see it. God goes on in this condemnation of the rich men who rule the earth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Wars, carried on for no purpose but to enrich the already rich, fit this condemnation perfectly, and the just do not resist. In fact, in most cases, the people do not even know how they are being robbed and plundered. My booklet, Billions for the Bankers, Debts to the People, explains how we are being robbed and plundered. And by the way, I should interject here, I see it as a very important sign in the refusal of the American people to buy and hoard gold. Gold has got to go. God has decreed it. And I believe he is already allowing the rich men of the earth to accumulate that gold, and they will have it as a witness against them when God causes it to be but worthless metal. I could talk for several more hours about gold and about what William Jennings Bryan meant when he closed his famous speech against gold with this phrase, "You shall not crucify mankind on a cross of gold." He knew that gold was a curse, a means of robbing the poor, and of little or no value in comparison to the necessities of life, of food, clothing, and shelter. But I don't want to take the time on the radio, but if you are confused about gold, whether you should own it, whether America should have it, whether you should hoard it, or what its role will be in the years ahead, if you want to spend a little time and really find out what God says about it, my cassette series titled, Should We Put Our Trust in Gold? I have that on 6 45-minute Bible sermons, starting in Genesis and going through the book of Revelation. That series of Bible studies goes into detail, starting with the gold in the Garden of Eden, on through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel in Egypt, in the wilderness, the history books of the Bible, the prophets, the New Testament, and concluding in Revelation 21, where we find John writing about the New Jerusalem in verse 18, "And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." And he writes in verse 21, "And the street of the city was pure gold." You have heard, and I'm sure have sung songs about the streets of gold. Are they literal? What does it mean? Is gold precious, or is gold so worthless that we will be using it for paving the streets in New Jerusalem? Let's go on in Revelation 18. John writes how the rich traders, merchants, and rulers of the earth will bewail the fall of mystery Babylon. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?" Yes, these multinational billionaire corporations that are reaping the wealth of the world and plundering the workers and citizens of all nations will weep and cry when this anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible system is destroyed. And God will destroy it and replace it with His rule, the kingdom of Christ upon the earth. Well, I have a few more verses to finish in Revelation, and my time is almost up. So God willing, we will read the rest of those verses next week, and I would add this especially and sincerely to any listener or listeners who may have traded some other wealth, money, property, goods and services, or whatever, for gold, and you are hoarding it, and you are keeping it, thinking that it will serve you in good purpose sometime in the time of trouble that lies ahead, my friend. You listen to these Bible studies I have mentioned before, that I've been going to Washington, D.C. for about 8 years now, and one of the things we tell these men in the Congress as we visit with them is that God is going to see that the gold is taken from America. God will not allow gold to be the basis for His kingdom. It must go, and men will cast it to the bats and the moles. Now, if you think you're going to use it to save yourself, you are in error. The deliverance and salvation of our people in this end of the age is through the blood and the word of Jesus Christ, and that is it. Gold will be worthless. It may even destroy you. James said of those who possessed it as the age closed, that it would be a witness against them. And you think on these things. Until next week, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.